Hello, beautiful people. My guest today is Jacob Greenfeld, and Jacob is a very brilliant guy. He graduated with his PhD in theoretical particle physics, but now he's decided to carve his own path online, particularly trying to learn how to win at the great online game. The great online game is a concept which we spoke about in this episode, but maybe we didn't define it. So in Jacob's own words, the great online game is a term for online entrepreneurship. But we spoke about more than just the great online game. We spoke about how Jacob's unique system for keeping in touch with people got him on the front page of Hacker News. We also spoke about the question which changed Jacob's life. How am I sabotaging myself? And we spoke about Jacob's previous article called Build a Business, Not an Audience, and why it's not necessarily contradictory to winning the great online game. Thank you for listening. If you have any thoughts about this episode, let me know on Twitter at HeyDannyMiranda. I'm grateful for you listening. And if you enjoyed this episode, go and share it with a friend. Share it with somebody you think would enjoy it as well. That's all for me. Let's get right into the episode with Jacob Greenfeld.
Interesting people, thought-provoking conversations, nutrition for your brain. Journey through the minds of the world's top performers and discover what it really takes to achieve your highest version. This is the Danny Miranda Podcast.
Jacob Greenfeld, it is an absolute pleasure to welcome you to the podcast. I'm super humbled that you accepted my invitation and super humbled that somebody of your writing capabilities and your ability to communicate is coming here today. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the invitation. I mean, don't expect too much because my writing is a lot better than my talking skills. But yeah.
Hell yeah. So I want to start with the writing and the 35,000 viewers on your site yesterday. Congratulations on that.
Thanks. I think by now it's almost 60,000.
60,000. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So front page of Hacker News, is that what it was?
Yeah.
How did you manage to do that?
Yeah, I mean, occasionally I post my own stuff on Hacker News, so I just submit it, and you just submit a link and a title. And yeah, sometimes it goes viral, right? So it resonated with some people. And I mean, this has happened before a few times. So it's not a completely new experience for me. And I feel like I'm getting better at understanding how it all works. You develop some kind of taste for what's working on certain platforms. And I feel like I've pretty much figured out Hacker News. this one was wild because it was surprisingly controversial. but yeah, I kind of expected it, at least to some extent, but not to the extent that it happened. But it really seems that then the moderator stepped in and now all the negative Nancy comments got pushed down and it's mostly positive stuff at the top, which is nice.
You said you mentioned how you figured out Hacker News. How does one game the system for Hacker News and get to the top?
Yeah, I think one secret is that you shouldn't game it because the algorithms are very good and they have quite sophisticated stuff, technology to make sure people don't cheat. So cheating typically means buying upvotes, asking your friends for upvotes, and yeah, doing these kind of things. And on other platforms, this is fine or even encouraged. For example, on Product Hunt, it's something they encourage, something they want. So you actually need to bring in these first 30 upvotes in order to make it to the front page. And only then you get exposed to their audience. And without that initial push from your own audience, you don't have a chance, or very little. On Hacker News, yeah, they immediately shadow ban your post if you try any of this stuff. So it really all boils down to, the headline. This is all you have, right? This is all the real estate you get on the platform. You don't have an image or anything. You really just have like your title. And it's very hard to articulate. There are no obvious rules. It's really just reading a lot of Hacker News, right? You study what's working on the platform, and then over time you just develop a taste. And that's kind of the process. And obviously, it's a certain type of audience with very tech savvy. So if it's just motivational fluff or whatever, it's not going to work, right? And it if it's actionable and hacking some kind of system in the broadest sense of the word, it usually resonates.
Yeah. So your article on keeping in touch with people really resonated, and I'm curious why you think that is, and what's the system you've created for keeping in touch with people?
Yeah, actually, so didn't create it from scratch. So it's not my idea. It's actually by Derek Sivers, and he wrote a post about how he's approaching networking or whatever you want to call it. It's kind of a dirty word, right? but it is what it is, and I don't know any better word. So keeping in touch with people. And he has this list of people. He has a database and then categories within the database, A, B, C, D. And yeah, everyone he wants to keep in touch with goes into his database, and then every entry is assigned a category A, B, C, D, and A means highest priority. You keep in touch every 3 weeks, and then D is whatever, right? Only once a year. And yeah, then you just, he's looking at this database regularly and then reaches out to people and does a very good job at it. So, and I of course had read this post a while ago, but never, it was never working for me. But now I kind of figured it out for myself. And the trick I'm using is that I implemented his system in Airtable. And the cool thing about Airtable is that you can do all these automations. So yeah, I wrote some scripts. So now it's randomly picking, or depending on different parameters, it's picking entries. And then every day I'm getting an email and it tells me exactly what to do. And it just tells me, okay, this is a new person. You want to reach out to him, now do it. And the second part is here are the people you should keep in touch with today. Because obviously, right, you can just do the calculation. You have like a field that tells, that says, okay, when did we last interacted? And then the category, and then, okay, the date when we should next talk, when I should next reach out to this person, is just a function of this, right, of the category and the date when we last talked.
You know, it's fascinating because personally, I'm not the type of person who would look at something like this and ask myself, how do I systematize this? How do I create code that's going to help me keep in touch with people? I literally, for my outreach process for this podcast is literally, okay, do I want to talk to this person? Great. I'll just ask them on the podcast. I have no way of tracking it, no way of. And for me, there's some level of purity in that. But I'm sure there were people that I didn't respond to, that I need to respond to, and a whole system I could create. How does somebody, how does your brain work? Because you're looking at the world and you're like, how can I make this into a system that's going to be beneficial for me?
Yeah, and what you just mentioned is exactly what sparked all the controversy on Hacker News, because
Oh, really?
there were two groups, right? And the first group says this is not pure, that this is kind of sketchy, manipulative, it's dishonest, whatever, because this is not how friendships are supposed to work, whatever, right? And your friends should always be top of mind. Why do you even need this kind of system? So this is one camp. And the other camp, which I'm obviously in, is this totally makes sense because it's something you can do to increase your luck surface area and bring more serendipity into your life. And this is something I'm working hard to do. So, and this is just one puzzle piece. But it's one of these little secrets that the opportunities usually are given to those people that are top of mind. So, you know, if you just saw a great movie or found a great restaurant, you tell the guy or whatever that you just met, right? If you just talked to a friend yesterday and, hey, yeah, you see something cool today, you share it with him because he's top of mind. Obviously, this is how the human brain works. So if you manage to stay top of mind for a lot of people, then more opportunities will come your way. It seems very obvious to me, and in my view, there's nothing dishonest about it or sketchy, whatever, because what is the alternative? The alternative for me would be simply not doing it because I'm really, really bad at doing this kind of thing naturally. So I kind of did it in a similar way to what you just described, right? I just, whenever I felt like it and something, I had an idea, I just did it. But there was no system. And when I reflected actually on my progress and what kind of the bottlenecks are, I thought, yeah, this is one of them, because I'm simply not a natural in this area. So I need to work on that. And maybe if you use a system like this long enough, you will become a natural at that and you won't need it anymore. Maybe, but I'm not sure. I definitely need it. And because I'm simply, forget to keep in touch with people, and I regret it. It's something, and I think not enough people do. I don't know how it works for you, how many messages you get from people, hey, long time no see, let's catch up, right? And it can be as simple as that. And most people, me included, are very, very happy when they get this kind of message. And it's not... So I think the big distinction is that I'm doing it only for people who I'm generally interested in, right? I have nothing to sell. There's no transaction, no agenda, whatever. It's really just I like this person and I want to keep them in my life, right? I want to keep understanding what's going on. And though then I reach out and we chat, right? And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I see. I understand that it is something that you should do and that is good for you. And I understand both camps is what I'm trying to say. And that, you know, I think a lot of the negativity that might be coming your way is because somebody isn't also understanding your perspective. And so I think that just what's going to happen when you put yourself out there on the internet and have opinions and have perspectives, there's going to might be two camps that form. And the two camps are likely just a result of something not being for somebody, but not being able to see that it could be for somebody else. So I hope you don't take it too personally, all the negativity and the comments.
No, like I'm by no means affected by it, because I'm doing this whole online thing for long enough and I don't care, right?
Right.
I really just try to understand where people are coming from, and it's fine, right?
Yeah, so one of the things that I found interesting is that last year, I believe you wrote a post that was really interesting to me, which was build a business, not an audience. And this year, your main goal and main theme is to learn how to win the great online game, which is closely related to building an audience. And so I'm curious how you think about that juxtaposition.
Yes, great question. And obviously there has been some evolution going on in my mind, but I actually reread the post recently and the evolution hasn't been that big, to be honest, because I was already talking about it back then and I just forgot about it. And the big thing is, at least for me, that I'm not trying to build an audience. This is not how I'm thinking about it, but it's more like in terms of serendipity and increasing my luck surface area. That's a big distinction for me. And another way of thinking about it is, you have like this traditional playbook, the influencer playbook, right? You go all in on audience building, you do content, and your goal is to build a huge audience on Instagram, Twitter, whatever, and then you your goal is just to pump products in their direction, make money off your audience, right? And this has worked in the past and is obviously still working, but this is not what I'm talking about. And I think this is not a good approach if your real goal is to build a sustainable business, at least for most people, because you need to be really, really talented or get really lucky to win at this game, at this particular game, at the influencer game. And then on the other hand, we have the entrepreneurial game, right, where you're really just going all in on building a business. You don't have a Twitter account. You don't put out content because you build a business. This is what you do. You focus on managing or coding yourself, doing marketing, paid marketing experiments, whatever. And what I find interesting is that with now this great online game, a new playbook emerges, or lots of new playbook start to emerge, which kind of live in between these two extremes, the influencer route and the entrepreneurial route, the pure influencer and pure entrepreneurs. And the big thing is, at least for me, when I'm studying what people did that that eventually succeeded, or in my opinion, are very successful at a great online game, is that they approach it in a slightly different way. And they, for example, obviously a huge element of the great online game is putting yourself out there, right? You put your brain out into the world because you want that people find your stuff. But it's no longer, at least this is how I look at it, about then selling to the people who find you. But it's rather about bringing opportunities into your life and bringing the right kind of people into your life. And yeah, it's maybe a bit double, but at least in my I recently realized it. And this is so it's not like I'm still pretty much in line with everything I wrote back then. So I don't think there's anything wrong or I should correct in the post, because I think that a lot of people make this mistake, who they really want to be entrepreneurs, but then they feel like they need to put out content and build an audience first, and yeah, waste a lot of time, because this is actually a very hard game. If your goal is to build an audience of a size where you actually can monetize it, this is really tough. And it's so much work. But if your goal is really just to bring the right kind of people into your life, that's much, much easier, right? You don't need like thousands or millions of followers. You really just need a handful of followers, of people who really care about your stuff. And they need to be the right kind of people. And I have this example in the original post in Build a Business, Not an Audience. If I had a Twitter account with just like 3 followers, and it's Peter Thiel, Paul Graham, and Naval Ravikant, and you have like, I don't know, 10,000 poor kids, whatever, right? Would you swap accounts? And obviously you would, right? Because my audience is a lot more valuable than yours.
Yeah, this is such a great point. And I was actually speaking to my friend, a young kid, the other day, and I was talking to him about how I really love the people who follow me on Twitter, because it feels like they are high quality people. And well, I know they're high quality people. I know that, you know, the type of people who follow me are, you know, people like Gary Vaynerchuk, and also people like Colin and Samir, and also people like you. And so it leads me to feel happy with my place in the great online game, in that the thoughts that I'm putting out and the content that I'm putting out is leading to people who I like and people who I respect to also come to me. And so my question to you is, how do you recommend somebody who's just starting out to think about it, to have people that they like and respect to start following them? Because I think that's the best part about all this. When somebody, I bring somebody onto the podcast and I love them and I love their work, and they say to me, I love your work, there's no greater high than that. And so how do you recommend somebody go about doing that?
Yeah, I think this is like a perfect example, right? Gary Vaynerchuk following you, but your goal is not to sell anything to him.
Yes.
So yes. This is like a perfect example. And yeah, the biggest mistake, and which is what I'm talking about in the post, is that people do content for the sake of producing content, right? And what you then see is that people just do these curations of other, they curate other people's content, or they rehash other people's ideas and just repackage it in a, yeah, not very authentic way, I would say. And there are different levels to the great online game, obviously, and what works when you have like a million followers does not work if you have like 100 followers, usually. And I think the best content that really attracts the kind of people you really want to have in your life is authentic, obviously, and it's not stuff you just found online or you think sounds clever. So, and this is what I'm trying to do and how I approach it, and you can see it in all my posts that I've done really well. It's stuff I actually do myself and really usually came up with myself, or at least some variation, right? Derek Sivers, and I of course give him credit for that, but it's still I built something on top of that, and yeah, I had my own ideas, built my own system, and then shared how I'm operating. And the second component is usually also, yeah, when I'm a little scared to hit the publish button, this is always usually for me the biggest signal, okay, you're onto something here. And yeah, this was totally the case with this latest post on my networking outreach system, because I, yeah, kind of expected that people would say, oh, this is manipulative. Oh, how would people now respond, right? Because now if I'm reaching out to someone, hey, what's going on? He will think, oh, Jacob is only reaching out because his automated system told him to do so. And maybe this will change my interaction. So yeah, I was kind of scared to put that out. And same with Build a Business, Not an Audience. I definitely was scared to put that out because it's very controversial. And yeah, kind of offended quite a few people who are preaching the whole build an audience first playbook. But yeah, I obviously don't regret it, because these are always the best content if it's really coming from you, if it's authentic, something you learned, something you experienced, it's your story, and yeah, if it's a little scary.
Yeah, so take me through some people you think are winning the great online game, and people you respect who are doing this the right way from your perspective.
Yeah, maybe my favorite example is Peter Levels, obviously. He's kind of like the OG of this indie hacking, bootstrap, digital nomad, whatever you want to call this this community. And yeah, he has really mastered it, because he built now a huge following, and always did it along the way, but his primary goal was never right to sell, just like how to grow a Twitter following and how to grow a Twitter following or whatever, these kind of Gumroad products. But yeah, he built cool businesses at the same time.
He shouted you out too. He said you had the name of a German DJ, did he say?
Yeah. This is funny. I put it on my brag sheet on my website. but no, yeah, we chatted actually a few times, and he's a cool guy. Unfortunately, he makes himself hard to reach, right? This is all his new stick, and maybe it's necessary once you reach a certain level. But yeah, he's someone I'm really looking up to, because he always has just shared his journey. And he was never afraid to offend a few people here and there if he felt like it's the right thing to do. But at the same time, his goal never was to be an influencer. But he really always was focused on being an entrepreneur, of making like his businesses, actually his projects, actually work. And yeah, he juggled these two balls really, really well. So probably on top of my list.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. It's interesting because Matthew Kobach has said something like, it really stuck with me. He said, everybody who has a Twitter audience, or any following, forget Twitter, they want that audience, or they want to be known in that way. And I was like, I thought on that and I was like, huh, that's really true. Like, people very rarely just have an audience of people who follow them and didn't want that to begin with, because it takes a lot of effort and it takes building. And Peter Levels, is that his name? He clearly wanted an audience of people following him, but I think what you respect is just the way he went about it, which is funny, but it was still his goal, I believe, to have that audience. He just went about it differently.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Peter really set out to build a huge following, but rather it was for him always a tool. Like putting his brain out there, his thoughts out there. He started really traditionally with just a blog, and I think no one read it except for his mother or something, and he did it for a long time. So it was really just a way to increase his like surface area. And at some point it got picked up and kind of exploded, but I don't think this was his goal. But at the same time, it obviously helped and is still helping him a lot. Every time he's publishing something new, he's posting something new, he's launching a new project, it's very easy for him to get it off the ground because he has a lot of trust in the community and a lot of people rooting for him, including me, right? And yeah, coming back to exactly the same point, right? He's not an influencer in the traditional sense, I would say, because he's not doing some sponsorship with, I don't know, some brands and just shilling products or whatever. And right, this is like the classic influencer playbook, but he's just winning at a great online game. There's no better way to put it, right? Just he makes his money from his actual businesses, right? Not from his audience, in a sense of that he sells like traditional influencer products to them.
Yeah, what are some examples of people who are influencers who are doing it right from your perspective?
Influencers doing
while,
it right.
While you think, I'll throw out a couple that come to mind. The first thing that came to mind for me was Tim Ferriss, who has followed and put himself out there. But when you listen to his podcast, he still has ads on the podcast, still quote unquote shilling you products to buy. But it feels like they're coming from an authentic place of like, yeah, I use this. Yeah, this is important to me. Another is Chris Williamson, from my perspective. He runs the Modern Wisdom podcast, and he has ads on his podcast, and I think that's his main revenue stream at this point, just his podcast. But it just, the way he goes about it is like, these are the conversations I want to have. So does anything come to mind for you?
Yeah, these are perfect examples. And I was first, influencers, because I was thinking about in terms of Instagram and YouTube, right? This is where you usually look at, and I do not really follow many people there. I don't have Instagram, so I actually don't know much about this world, just for my girlfriend. On YouTube, I think Mike Thurston is pretty fun to watch. Like, he's a fitness influencer.
He's jacked, Mike Thurston.
Yeah, right? he's one of these guys.
Jacked out of his mind.
he's one of the people whose content I enjoy doing. He's watching, and he's obviously an influencer in the purest sense, right? He just built this audience, and now publishing, launching products specifically for this audience. So like an app and whatever he did in the past, like meal plans, training plans, like the classic fitness influencer stuff. And nothing wrong with it, obviously. And but probably more interesting are podcasters, like the examples you mentioned are a great example, because I listen to a lot of podcasts, obviously, and there are quite a few who are doing it like full-time. And if someone is a full-time podcaster, it's the same way as with a full-time Instagrammer or a full-time YouTuber, obviously. And Tim Ferriss, yeah, big fan, even though he's publishing too much, I can't keep up. I think the best episodes are still the random shows. These other ones I still listen to every time, and otherwise just if there's some hyped up episode everyone is talking about, otherwise it's just too much for me. And who else comes to mind? Let me look at my podcast app.
Yeah, I'm curious. What does your podcast app look like?
Yeah, I'm also curious. if speaking of influencers, I'm currently reading Dan Bilzerian's book.
The Setup.
Have you read it?
Yeah. No, I haven't read it, but I do own it. I'm curious what that's great. Like. Is it?
It's great. Yeah, and it's funny because, as I mentioned, I don't have Instagram, right? I don't know if I know any Instagram post of his, but I bought the book because I listened to his podcast episode with Logan Paul, actually. Impulsive. And this is a podcast, impulsive, and this is a podcast I just recently discovered, and I listened to maybe 3 episodes or so, and I'm not big into that whole culture, right? It's a whole different world. And YouTubers, it's also like a circle, and they talk about stuff that's not very relatable to me. But there are actually a few cool episodes that I enjoyed listening to. And this was one of them with Dan Bilzerian. And then I bought the book, and it's surprisingly good. Yeah, he has some cool thoughts. Obviously, he understands a few things, right? He's not completely dumb. He's not. Okay, I listen to the All In podcast sometimes. My First Million, obviously. Tropical MBA. Tim Ferriss Show. Impulsive is here. And then most of them, honestly, are your podcast. You see? And most of the podcasts I listen to are storytelling podcasts. Cool. Otherwise, there are really just a handful of interview, whatever you want to call it, podcasts, conversational podcasts, and the rest is storytelling podcasts like The Dropout, Lazarus Haste, and these kind of things. I'm not sure if there are any influencers here specifically, because for example, My First Million, are these guys influencers? Not really. They do other stuff. Maybe now with Sam selling his software, his business, he's a full-time influencer because this is what he's doing now. But other than that, I don't think I follow many influencers.
Yeah, no, it's cool to hear the content diet and to see what is interesting to you, because the output that you have is really insightful in terms of the writing and a lot of the things you put out. So it's curious and it's interesting for me to see what you're feeding the mind to create some of that stuff. One of the posts that I wanted to talk to you about was about this really interesting question, which is, how am I sabotaging myself? How did you come up with this post, and how did this question change your life in any way?
Yeah, it definitely also was part of my, I reflected like on my journey between the years and what I did and what I accomplished so far and what I want to achieve this year. And I think I wasn't able to articulate it at the time, but I developed kind of like a feeling that there's something going on I should investigate. And I have actually, I have like a template for every day to bring some structure in my everyday life. And there is a section called morning orientation, with just to do is simple things like drinking a glass of water, but also more complex stuff like stretching, meditation, but also writing, like stream of conscious writing. And this post emerged from one of these sessions that I set aside usually 25 minutes, but once I really started it, sometimes it's not working at all, but sometimes I end up writing for hours and hours. And it's really just trying to listen to my own thoughts before I expose myself to other people's voices, because if you get bombarded by content all day, it's really hard to hear yourself think. So I
try
to do it.
That's a really important point. Sorry to cut you off. Right. I just need to retweet that verbally. Like, listen to yourself before listening to other people. Sorry, continue.
And yeah, this is where like the best ideas usually come from. And it's in this state you get like to these ideas that are not just rehashes of other people's ideas. It's actually your own stuff. And yeah, I'm usually trying to work through some stuff. And what's my bottleneck? And what's stopping me from reaching the next level, from making real progress? And I, then slowly, like started this question to emerge in my mind, and just formulating it and writing this post has been incredibly helpful, because it became very quickly obvious that I'm doing it all the time. And we probably all are, but I'm not sure if everyone is brave enough to admit it. And it's not a very nice realization. And especially if you then dig in deeper and try to understand why you're doing it. But it was definitely like therapeutic. it really, really helped me. And I then also came up with a plan and stuff. But taking a step back. So I really started by the story is that the day before I had a call with someone, and obviously this came from my system. I just catched up with someone, and we were just no agenda, just chatting, what's going on, what's up with your project. And it was very obvious to me as an outsider that he's sabotaging himself. And it was, I immediately saw like his bottlenecks. Why aren't you doing X? Aren't you doing Y? And he has a very cool project. And it was obvious to me that, for example, he should reach out to people who have these lists of resources, right? And they have all cool resources in that space. So you should just reach out to these people and tell, hey, I also built something cool in that space. Could you include my resource? And it totally would make sense, because his resource is not paid, it's completely free, and it's a pure value add, right? It's a really good resource. And it's not ready yet, I don't want to annoy people, right? These kind of excuses. And then also it was very straightforward that he should do like these structured interviews with kind of cool people in that space, because this would allow him to get so much good content and so much goodwill and get backlinks and boost this. And you have nothing to lose, right? You just send an email, hey, here are a few questions, and if people answer, cool. If they don't, they don't. And again, no, he doesn't want to offend people and yada yada. And like I said, it was totally obvious to me, but it wasn't to him. And but after the call and then next morning, I really got thinking, oh shit, am I doing the same thing and I'm just not seeing it? Because this is how it works, right? It's obvious when other people do it, but not, it's hard to look at yourself from a third person perspective, kind of. And then I started writing, and I wrote at the top of a piece of paper, how am I sabotaging myself? And really within 15 minutes or so, the page was full of examples in all the ways I sabotaged myself, my progress in the past. And I mean, there were little things, but also big things, and that make absolutely no sense. So, for example, someone that I really admire reached out to me, started sending me emails. We exchanged emails. He was just giving me advice, sharing thoughts. No agenda, right? It was really just being helpful, and I just stopped answering. I have no idea why. And when I launched a product a year ago or so, a quite famous VC fund reached out to me, and we hopped on a call and talked about ways to collaborate and stuff. And then they sent me an invite to their Slack channel and continued the conversation there. And I simply never joined. And of course, I had ways to rationalize this behavior in the moment. But when I now look back at it, it makes no sense. It's ridiculous, right? I don't even want to articulate it, but I put it in the post, right? It's really just thoughts like, oh, this fund just wants to exploit me, want me to work for free, whatever, which is nonsensical. But yeah, this was the excuse I was making for not joining, joining the Slack channel and continuing the conversation. And obviously now, if you look at these examples and dig in a bit deeper, you can understand what's going on, right? Because this is not really this is just the surface level and what's going on beneath. And most likely, I felt in most of these examples that I didn't deserve it, that I wasn't ready, and that these kind of opportunities shouldn't come my way. So I didn't feel like I should seize them, right? And so I just, blocked them, which is incredibly stupid. But this is how I sabotaged myself. And just going through this process of writing down all the examples and then thinking about what's going on here really, really, really helped me, I think. And then, of course, I also try to dig in deeper what's really the root cause, where is this coming from? Because, of course, you can try to just fight the symptoms, right? And these are just symptoms. Like, I could try whenever a situation like this occurs, I can just try to power through, right? And just do it, whatever, force myself. But we all know this is not how it works. Right, this is just a band-aid, this is just taking a paracetamol or whatever when you are having a headache. It's just a short-term fix and not really getting to the root of it. And eventually it will not work because it's against your nature, or at least it will always feel that way. So it's a fight you can't win if you don't get down to the root cause. So I then did some research, and there are then, of course, the Google results are horrible, but you can find some useful stuff if you click to page 3 and 2 and 3, whatever. And it has to do with topics like self-worth, what you think of yourself, right? And then you can dig in deeper, where is this coming from? And like psychologists always like to say, childhood, whatever. And more interesting then probably is what you can do about it. And I think there are quite a few things you can actually do, which is cool. So like methods how you can really tackle the root cause, not just fight the symptoms, right? Because fighting the symptoms would be developing some system to force myself to just do stuff, whatever, what I just mentioned. It kind of more helpful would be to reprogram myself in a sense so that I no longer feel that way. And like, I feel like I deserve these opportunities, and then just seizing them becomes second nature, right? This should be the end goal. And there are different things, and I put them in the post.
Yeah. One thing you talked about was affirmations and how affirmations are one of the ways you could do that. And you mentioned one of my Twitter posts too. You mentioned The Rock giving affirmations to his daughter, which was a beautiful video. What else did you mention in the post as ways to tackle your own lack of self-worth or believing or lack of self-esteem?
Yeah, I mean, the thing everyone is talking about is like stuff like therapy, but this is such a broad term that it's not really helpful, because there are, I don't know, hundreds of different ways of going about it, and also practitioners, and not everyone is at the same level. And when I actually looked at the most popular methods, they mostly seem to me not getting to the root cause. They were mostly concerned with symptoms. So like looking at your emotions and then steering them in positive directions or whatever. But it's more interesting to see where they are coming from, right? And actually getting to the root of it. And this is why I think, yeah, affirmations are one way. And obviously, this is kind of new agey. And I think people like to make fun of it, at least some people. But I mean, it costs nothing, right? Except a little of your time. And the chance that it works is not zero, right? So it's an asymmetric bet. You can't really lose much except for a little time, but you can win so much. So why not give it a shot? And the idea really to repeat certain phrases regularly until they trickle down into your subconscious mind seems a very logical idea to me. And also a lot of very successful people swear that they work. And I actually didn't dive in deep on what's the scientific status, whatever is, but I studied physics. I have a scientific background, but placebo is cool too. So if it's just that, that's fine with me. And I decided to give it a shot because it's such an asymmetric bet. And I've been doing it for a while and I feel like it's working. And
what have you been doing?
Mostly written at the moment. Part of my daily template is to write these affirmations. And I then have just, in Rome, I have just a list of affirmations and I just write them every morning. And I just write them once. I don't write them like 10 times because, yeah, baby steps. I don't want to overwhelm myself. And I think, yeah, just once is enough for now. And yeah, like I said, I feel it's already working because almost magically, incredible stuff is happening to me right now. So maybe
when did you start?
I think 4 weeks ago.
Or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, like 6 weeks. Yeah, maybe this. I think the first week of the second week of the year. I think I can actually look into my room, so I can see actually cool. When it started. But around that
4 to 6 weeks. This is very in line with what happened when I started repeating "I love myself" over and over and over. I would say it out loud. I would say it nonstop in my head. And a month later, life got different. Life was magical. Something changed. And I talk about that example a lot. I love myself. I love myself. I love myself over and over and over again. And saying it was powerful because I think that increases two different, you hear it and you also say it. So two more senses in addition to seeing it in your mind potentially. So that was huge for me. And I recommend people say it as well for that reason. But maybe the next step or next level.
Yeah, I read about Tony Robbins talks about it, right? Incantations is the next level. You actually embody the words and yeah. Makes total sense to me, but like I said, baby steps.
Yeah, and I think that people are scared to do it because it'll look stupid or it sounds dumb to just say I love myself. Like, what is that actually going to do? But what I realized was that I started treating myself differently when I said that often and believing it. And after treating myself differently, then I would treat the world differently as a result of that. So yeah, that's been my experience. And it's been an overwhelmingly positive one. And the periods of my life when I haven't felt as much joy, it's because I wasn't repeating things to myself that I was programming. It was other programming coming in. But yeah, that's been my experience.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And yeah, if it looks stupid but works, it's not stupid, right?
Yeah, that's important. Well, Jacob, we're coming up on our time here today. I'm incredibly grateful for you spending time talking about some of your writing and some of your work online. I'm really grateful for it. There's a lot that we didn't cover, but maybe a next time would be great. And where can people connect with you further?
Yeah, just Twitter and my website are the best places, and it's really just myname.com or at Jacob Greenfeld at Twitter. Should be very easy to find. And thank you so much for having me. This was amazing. And yeah, I would love to come back for a second episode.
Yeah, well, we'll have all that below, and I really appreciate you taking the time. Thank you for making it to this point in the episode. I'm incredibly grateful for you for listening. And if you enjoyed this episode, share it with somebody you think would enjoy it as well. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I will see you in the next episode.